Let's turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're going to be. A Memorial Day sermon for you. I don't typically preach topical sermons, but what we do on holidays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Memorial Day, these kinds of things. And this is very much a topical sermon. We typically do verse-by-verse study through books of the Bible. We're in 1 John right now. You know that. You've been in there with me. But we're going to take a break today and look at a thought for Memorial Day about remembering. Do you guys ever forget? Absolutely. There's good jokes about people who forget, you know. I can't remember any of them right now, but they're pretty good. 1 Corinthians, all right, some of you got that, some of you didn't. I think that was worse than the jokes I might have told. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read in verse 23. Should be familiar to you. We use these verses regularly. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and the time we have to spend in it this morning. We thank you this morning for this writing by Paul. He remembers what Jesus had said and been passed down, that we should take this cup and break this bread in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Lord, we take it again this morning to remember ourselves. I ask you to bless this time here now. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. So this is a familiar passage. We read this every month as we practice the Lord's Supper. We take communion the first Sunday of every month. The ceremony we observe during that time is a very good thing, and it's an ordinance of the church. And I appreciate a church that gives it the attention that we do, and I'm thankful for that. But the purpose of the ceremony is so much more important than the practice. We've got to have the practice to get the purpose, but the purpose is what we want to focus on here this morning. We are to use that time to remember that Christ died for us. Twice here, as Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and quoting what Jesus said and performed during the Last Supper, he talks of Jesus saying, This do in remembrance of me. And doing it until Jesus returns to make sure that we remember there. So we use this time as we take the Lord's Supper to remember that Christ died for us. Well, that brings us to Memorial Day. Monday, tomorrow, is Memorial Day, a day to remember and honor those who have served and given their lives for our freedom as Americans. How many of you this morning are proud to be Americans? Okay, most of us. No, I think that was all of us. I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to have the freedom that I have. Now, obviously, there are some things that happen in this world, and people exercise their freedoms in ways that I wish that they wouldn't. Amen? And the way people handle the flag sometimes. They're free to do that. And I realize they are, and I don't like it. But I am thankful for the freedom that I have. I'm thankful for the freedom of religion that we have. Now, I understand that because I have freedom of religion, someone who's doing something that I don't maybe approve of and calling it their religion, they're free to do that as well in America. And I don't like it, but I'm thankful for my freedom of religion. And it's a two-way street. They get it, and I do too. So all of this is partly due, in fact, to why we celebrate Memorial Day, why we remember, because of those who have given sacrifice of themselves for us to be able to have what we have. So I want to speak to you today about Memorial Day, especially in regards to remembering. I want to say to you first to remember the soldiers. Now, that's not in the Bible. So I guess technically this is not a sermon. So I'm giving you a speech. I'll get to a sermon here in just a minute. But I think it's appropriate, being as we're in America, and we're Americans, and tomorrow's Memorial Day. Remember the soldiers. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to live in a land that is still able and willing to fight to keep right right and wrong wrong. Now, that's not popular. When's the last time you saw soldiers come home and we had a parade for them? It's rare. We still kind of do it around here in southern Cheatham County. I don't know if they do out in Dixon, but I, at least since I've lived here, we've had one parade for soldiers, and I was so happy about that. That was great. It used to be that that was a proud thing. No matter how scared a young man was to go off and fight for his country, he was proud to be able to do it. And as he came home, everybody was proud to see him come home. And no matter what had happened somewhere else, they were proud he was back and proud that they were able to stand there and freely pat him on the back because of what he had done. But we live in this world that today where, you know, fighting's bad. You know, don't hit. We all learned that. Did y'all learn that in kindergarten? Don't hit. Fighting's bad. I know it is. But I'll just be honest. When what you're doing is worse than me hitting you, I'm going to hit you to stop you from doing what is worse. And there are a lot of things in this world that are worse than fighting. And I'm proud to live in a country where we still, as far as I know, we still believe in, we've got bigger guns than you do, and if you're going to try to hurt us, we're going to shoot you. There's a lot of other words I'd like to put in with that because of some patriotic country songs that I've heard in my life, but I won't. But they do involve a boot, I'll tell you that much right now. My redneck's coming out. Did y'all hear my redneck come out right there? I apologize for that. But I'm glad to live in a country where we still believe you ought to fight for what's right and what's wrong. I'm proud to raise my children up to say, you see that soldier? That's a hero. Now, I didn't say he was perfect. She, whoever it was, I didn't say they're perfect, but they're heroes. They're good guys who fight against bad guys. Well, that's offensive to somebody, though, isn't it? You didn't expect to get soapboxed at 8:30 in the morning, did you? But that has become offensive to shoot and kill somebody else. And everybody wants to dig into their background and figure this thing out. Hey, here's the deal. They had a gun pointed at his face and he blew their brains out. I'm proud of that. I know that's graphic and it's not what we're used to around here these days, but I grew up with John Wayne and cowboys and police officers, and it was okay to shoot the guy who had done wrong. And I still think it is. Amen? Amen. All right, good. I wasn't sure if y'all are with me on that one. But I'm proud to be an American. Where it's still a notable thing to spend years of your life defending freedom. I'm proud to be able to stand before you today and publicly, in a church of all places, thank those who've died and their families for such a great sacrifice. So remember the soldiers. I don't know what you do on Memorial Day. We drive to Georgia on the Sunday afternoon before Memorial Day, and then on Memorial Day we have a great big picnic at Shanae's family's house. And it's great. We enjoy ourselves. So everybody comes. I have to tell about you guys. They all ask about you guys. Y'all don't even know they knew you, did you? And so I spend my whole day, I'm usually hoarse by the end of the day, talking to people. But we do a cookout, and we play yard games and, you know, whatever. But all of that is not just so we can see each other, not just so that we can have a festivity, but it's all a memorial. It's all to remember that someone died that we might be able to take that day. But sometimes we forget. You guys forget, I forget, everybody forgets. There was a lady sitting in her car at a commuter train station, and a policeman noticed her there. She had her head bowed over the steering wheel, and she was obviously in some kind of discomfort. So he walked over and he said, "Ma'am, is there anything wrong?" Half crying and half laughing, she said to him, "For 10 years I've been driving my husband to this station every morning to catch his train, and this morning I forgot him." At least she got there, right? Don't forget. Remember the soldiers. On an average day, about 750 people visit the USS Arizona in Hawaii. And on Memorial Day weekend, about 4,600 people visit that memorial. On an average day, about 3,000 people visit the Vietnam War Memorial. On Memorial Day, 7,600 people or so will visit that memorial. God bless those who remember our deceased veterans. Remember the soldiers. And then to bring it into a little more of a spiritual light, remember the saints. Originally, Memorial Day was instituted to remember the Civil War dead. But over the years, it has become a time to remember all deceased veterans and all of our deceased loved ones. In fact, some have called it Decoration Day. Do you know why it became, what was originally called Decoration Day? Why was this? Yeah, go out and decorate the graves. I think the Boy Scouts do that on this day and other groups and that kind of thing. And that's what it was. Many people still go to the graves of their loved ones to decorate them as a sign they haven't forgotten them. I want to say two things to you about that this morning. First, remember your deceased loved ones. Now, we don't idolize them. We don't remember them to the extent of that we can't, you know, get on with our lives. Jesus taught us about that. Paul taught us about that. They're better than we are now. If they went to heaven, they were saved people. But we still ought to remember them. Remember the lives that they lived. Remember the values that they taught you. Remember the good that they brought to life, and reflect that good in your own life. So remember your deceased loved ones. And then secondly, remember those who died to give us Christianity. Now, that's not prevalent in our society. Nobody's really dying so that the church can go on. I'm proud to be a pastor, give my whole life to preach the word and come over here and turn the lights on so we can have church, you know, all of the things that the pastor does. But I'll just be honest. Somebody, I think it was a guy, it was Mike, preached on Wednesday night here. He said they came to lock Chance up and drag him out the back door there. I thought, wait, what are they locking me up for? What did I do? Well, I don't know where I would stand on that. But I do know where people have stood on that in the past. Have you ever stopped to think, how did you get that Bible that you're holding this morning? How did it come to be in your hands? How did it come to be in bookstores and just on the internet and just everywhere that it is that we can get a hold of the Bible? People gave their lives so that it could be. Where did these rituals and traditions come from that we practice every week, our liturgy here in the church? There was a time where that wasn't the thing to do. You weren't allowed. You weren't supposed to. Even in the early churches, they met in homes. They still faced threat of persecution. People gave and sacrificed so that you and I can have what we call now church service. Saints from times past gave of themselves for you and I to have this goodness that we now call Christianity. We know all the glory goes to God. We're not trying to give glory to man here this morning. We're going to talk about God more here in just a moment. But what about those who helped things spread originally? Peter and Paul, James and John, and on and on and on that list could go for days and days and days. Most of you probably in your family have a patriarch who you could back it up to and say it was because of this aunt or that uncle or this grandpa, this grandma that my family's in church now. Because of a sacrifice they made, or because they always prayed, or because I couldn't pick up Easter eggs till they told me the gospel. Whatever the story is, we probably all have something. I mean, you're in church today. Somehow or another, you might be that patriarch. You might be the first generation, and you've changed your family tree spiritually. Remember the saints who sacrificed that we might be Christians, who gave up comfort, who gave up their careers, who gave up community so that the gospel might be spread and the word produced. And then we get to the main point here this morning. Not only do we remember the soldiers, and we should, and remember the saints, but most importantly, remember the Savior. That's our text here this morning. Verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Remember the Savior. Matthew writes in chapter 27, verse 28 through 30, "And they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, took the reed, and smote him on the head." And then John says in chapter 19, verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Luke records in chapter 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then Mark records in chapter 15, verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Remember the Savior. Remember the Savior's place. It's heaven. Remember the Savior's path. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Remember the Savior's purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to die so that we might live. That's a great sacrifice. A great thing for us to remember. He left the perfection of heaven to take on man's curse. Because of Jesus' work, we who are separated from the Father are now joined again to the Father. But also because of Jesus' work, as he hung upon the cross and took upon himself all of our sins, his very own Father had to turn his back on him. So while we were being rejoined to the Father, reconnected to the Father, Christ the Son had his back turned, had the Father's back turned on him. That's what was done for you. Remember this. If you've been saved, remember this and praise God for it. But if you've not, come today and accept Christ's gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified for nothing, hung upon a cross and bled and died for your sins. They took his body, they buried him. 3 days, he conquered death, hell, grave, had made atonement for your sin, and rose from the dead on his own merit, on his own will. No angel woke him up. No angel let him out. Jesus did it all by himself. He walked on the earth for a few more days, and then he ascended up to heaven. All of this is the gift of God, salvation, nicely packaged up into what we call the gospel, with a bow put on top and put under the tree for you. And what do you do at Christmas time with those gifts under the tree? You kids know this, right? You go up to mom and dad and say, okay, mom, what's it going to take? 20 bucks? 50? Can I do the dishes this morning to get my gifts? Is that how Christmas works? Some of you said yes. What? You talk to your parents after this. No, that's not how it works. It's not how any gift works. Those gifts are there. You open them up, you receive them, and they're yours. God's gift to you is salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember. Remember the sacrifice. Oh, we're going to remember the soldiers and do. Remember the saints from days gone by. But most importantly this morning, remember the sacrifice. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess Him before men. Let's stand this morning. If you're here today and you're saved, well, this is great. Easy sermon. Left you smiling. The first John sermon this morning was on sin. You'll get that next week. So you got off easy. Just praise the Lord this morning. Leave here smiling. Thank God for the Savior. Thank God for the soldiers. Thank God for the saints gone before you. We've got left you in the wonderful place that you're in today. But if you're here today and you're unsaved or you're unsure or you just don't know, come and be saved this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off any longer. Your barbecue will taste better tomorrow if you'll get saved today. Let's pray.